here we are.
Hey now.
Create podcast.
Get into our open hands.
Speaking of open hands, how smart are you?
Well, it just came in, so I said it.
Today's podcast is about living with an open hand. And I don't remember where I first heard this. I know I've heard Tasha Silver talk about living life with an open hand. I feel like Michael Beckwith has said living life with an open hand. I feel like there's something really in the spiritual mindfulness community where people talk about this idea a lot of the difference between living in a closed way with like a clenched fist versus an open hand. One of my gurus and teachers described it as a clenched fist is only ever used for a fight, where an open hand is only ever used to give or to receive. So it is indicative of the kind of energy that you're actually putting out and also inviting back to you. That image of that clenched fist, which is only used for a fight or confrontation, versus the image of an open hand, which is used as an extension or an invitation.
Reminds me of that quote that you put on Facebook the other day, the Thich Nhat Hanh, about how you walk around the world.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
That's a beautiful quote. I wonder if I can find
it.
Yeah. Where did I put it? In Create Community?
Yeah. And while you look for it, I just wanted to say, I feel like when I dove into Tasha Silver's work, and I so resonated with something that comes up again and again in her books is, let me not cling to or grasp to anything. Mm. Let whatever wants to come, come. Let whatever wants to go, go. Whatever's for me cannot go past me. I will live life with an open hand. Which changes the whole game.
It really is the most empowering attitude to take on.
Because when you trust that you are a magnet, that whatever is for you comes directly to you, that it's not about trying to like struggle your way into something or earn it, it changes who you show up on the planet to be.
Absolutely. So this quote I posted the other day, when we walk like we are rushing, we print anxiety and sorrow on the earth. We have to walk in a way that we only print peace and serenity on the earth. Be aware of the contact between your feet and the earth. Walk as if you are kissing the earth with your feet.
Oh.
I actually heard, I believe it was Deepak Chopra once, talking about he went through a certain amount of time in his life where he actually lived on the streets. And it was a chosen thing. Like, he was well-established, he was well-known, he had a considerable amount of wealth.
He went and was a beggar in India for a while.
He went to be a beggar in India to practice humility, to understand himself in a different way, as almost a meditation practice. And he talked about how one of the more challenging things was he could kind of get used to his stomach feeling hungry or these certain things, but one of the more challenging things for him was how difficult it became to walk because the pavement was so hard on his feet and it was so painful every time he put his foot on the pavement. And so he said his meditation practice began noticing the depth of pain when he put his foot on the pavement and the beautiful relief when he lifted his foot off the pavement before the next step. And it was like what he was saying is at any given moment in our life, there is both the pain and the freedom of the pain. There is both the thing that hurts and the absence of the thing that hurts. And many of us are only capable of noticing the pain.
Sure.
And we very rarely are as in communion with or noticing the relief, the freedom, the joy, the good, that we're so busy, as Michael Singer talks about, the consciousness moving to the object of distraction, the thing that is wrong in our lives. It's very easy for us to forget all of the other places our lives are beautiful and good and joyful and pleasurable. And as Abraham Hicks says, how good you feel is the thing that moves you into the manifestation or the rocket of desire or the thing that you want. And yet all of us are very obsessed with keeping our fists closed because there's that thing in our life that doesn't feel good and we're obsessed with fixing it or being fixated on it, as opposed to drawing our attention to, of course, there's this thing that feels painful and I don't need to fix it. It's just a painful place in my life. But look at all these strengths, all this beauty, all this joy, all this otherness that's in my life that's already working, that's already beautiful, that's already great. Can I make it my mindfulness practice to draw my attention to what is good and joyful and working and not forget or have any kind of bypass around the thing that feels painful or isn't working, but can I hold one in each hand and keep my hands open?
That's when they talk about doing a 4-step in the 12-step programs, that when you're doing your inventory, don't only list your character defects, but also list the way that you're beautiful and rocking it and filled with so many wonderful things so that we can hold them equally. And it's really about acceptance, saying, oh, this is who I am. I am both things. I was talking to someone last night and I was like, you know what's really interesting about the 12 steps? It says, became entirely willing to allow God to remove them. Well, that takes an open hand.
Yeah.
So I'm not supposed to get rid of my shortcomings. Actually, I can't.
Right.
But I can hold them and ask that they be removed and be ready for them to be removed.
And know that it's possible for that which is painful or difficult or challenging in my life to be changed and shifted without me having to do anything about it.
Right.
One of the simplest ways of this is, you know, you and I love to practice the 24-hour rule.
Oh, yeah.
I've really noticed when I'm really angry at someone and they're not even in front of me, but I'm really busy building the case of all the things I'm going to say to them when I get to my email or when I get a moment to say it. And in my mind, I'm going to say it very consciously and lovingly, but it's very much getting my opinion across, which has nothing to do with what their side of the story is, all these things. And I can often find that if I just wait 24 hours, 99% of the things that I feel so fervent about saying stop mattering to me 24 hours later. And the 1% of thing that remains is usually the truth of the thing that wants to be expressed. And then usually around that, if I've just kept open and stayed out of judgment and stayed out of right or wrong, usually around that 1% thing is, oh, I see actually that this person really loves me and is innocent and is doing their best. And it's just up to me to communicate this last little thing.
Yep.
But all the rest of it is usually gone.
That's exactly right. There's this Viktor Frankl quote that I love. It says, everything can be taken from a man, but one thing, the last of the human freedoms, to choose one's attitude in any given set of circumstances, to choose one's own way. And I love that. To me, that's when we talk about the one power that we have is our attitude or our perception, which is really how are we holding things?
That's exactly right.
And what are we choosing to hold?
Right. You know, someone online, when I just Googled, you know, life with an open hand, Ron Irvine, he said, here's what clenched fist living is contrasted with open hand living. Clenched fist living is about threat. It's about what is hidden. It's about uptightness, defensiveness, stagnation, barriers, limits, energy that is bottled up and can't flow. A closed mind, one who knows it all, is opinionated and full of certainty. A closed heart, guarded, controlled, fearful. The closed fist conquers and crushes. It's about competition. It's all about me. An open hand is about invitation. What is revealed? What is relaxed? What is inquiring and curious? What is open and connected? It sees possibility. It releases energy. It has an open mind that's always learning and curious and anticipating. An open heart that embraces change and diversity and people. It embraces the unknown and seeks new possibilities. Not competition. It is about collaboration. It is not about me. It is about all. Inclusion. Oneness. So when I think about the difference between a threat and an invitation, how often do we threaten people into loving us, right? I'll give you this if you love me, and I will take my love away if you don't give it to me.
All the time.
Instead of an invitation, here I am with all my defects and all my love, And I invite you into this conversation of love with me.
I'm just here loving you.
Right.
And if you want to come and join me in this love party,
I extend my open hand.
Yeah.
What is hidden in the closed fist, it's what's hidden. It's what we're scared to reveal as opposed to what's revealed. Opening the hand to say, here's the parts of myself I don't like. But I'm sure there's parts of you that you don't like too. And can we just hold an open hand and compassion and non-judgment for those things?
Can we extend love around all those things that we might want to dislike or judge about ourselves? Can we make it a bigger circle?
How much energy it takes to keep your fist closed, yeah. That uptightness, as opposed to the relaxation of the open hand,
right.
The naturalness of the open hand, a defensiveness instead of an inquiry.
That's right.
I'm curious about who you are. I'm not going to defend who I am against it. A stagnation rather than an openness or willingness or a movability. A barrier instead of connection, where we want to build a wall instead of trying to understand.
Mm.
Where we see limits instead of seeing what's possible. With the closed fist, we see that we have been hurt in the past, so we have to keep ourselves guarded and safe.
Mm.
As opposed to saying, I've been hurt and I might be hurt again, but loving is worth it, and I can keep myself open. A closed mind that knows it all, that's opinionated, that wants to force itself and its way and its will, versus the open mind that's learning and anticipating, knowing that there's good here and being so excited to find it. The closed heart that is guarded and led by fear, which is that energy of retreat. I want to keep myself away from you in case you hurt me. The open heart embraces whatever is here and diversity and different people and different opinions and knows that someone else's opinion isn't a threat to them.
Yeah.
The conqueror versus the embracer, the competitor versus the collaborator, the one who wants to make it about me and protecting me instead of the all and the embracing and celebrating that we're all the same thing divided up into these different forms.
Right. So it becomes, can I just celebrate that I participate in the allness of all things? May I dissolve into the all? So every moment that I feel myself want to either protect myself or close or defend or grab or feel like there's not enough, I just go, oh, I forgot that I am one with all of life.
Mm-hmm.
And life loves to promote life. Life loves to take care of life. And so life loves to take care of me and promote me and bring me every good thing. Life loves to let life thrive.
Mm-hmm.
So when I drop my protection and can surrender into this allness, then I can allow life to do its thing. Life is working on our behalf when we don't even know it.
Yeah.
We could be like hustling in the corner trying to think we're working on something, and there's this larger purview that knows. And so I think it just behooves us. It becomes like economy of motion and energy when we say, hey, guess what? Life knows what it's doing with me.
Right.
Life is living itself through me. It's living itself through you as Natalie. It's living itself through me as Kristen. And I am a perfect match for everything that is meant for me, for every lover and job and opportunity. I'm the perfect match for it. I actually can't lose it unless I completely close myself off.
Right.
Right? Unless I lock myself into a corner of fear.
Right. Often people feel so scared to lose something,
mm-hmm.
with no understanding of what could be yet to come.
That's right.
I remember when I was moving out of my old apartment, and I was so sad about it. It was my first New York apartment. I had so many memories there, and it was this special space. And I remember someone saying to me at the time, but you're only sad to lose the old apartment because you haven't met the new apartment yet.
That's
right.
Yes.
It's like, and it was so true. As soon as I had finally found my new apartment,
yeah.
What paint colors, what furniture, what, and there was just so much joy and forward movement and excitement that it was impossible to attach to the old outgrown thing because I was so excited about the lovable future I was living into.
That's exactly it. And I talked to a girl last night who's in her 20s and 6 months ago went through like the first real breakup of her life and was saying to me, oh, it's been so challenging. And I remember when I was her age, and I was like, when I was exactly your age, I went through a breakup that flattened me. I was in so much grief. And you know what I learned now, so much older, is that every next relationship that came in just got better and better and better. And then breakups lost their pain because all, I mean, there's still, of course, there is grief, but there is, it's like, well, who's the universe bringing in next?
Right. There's the grief of the loss, but there's not the invented suffering.
Exactly.
That used to come along with it.
Right. So when it first happened and when she and I were talking, she's like, oh my gosh, you're right. Cause I don't know anything different. I don't even know to imagine different. And I'm like, what the universe is imagining for you is so much better than what you can think of for yourself. And you are going to be surprised and delighted and amazed by what the universe brings in. Your only job right now is to like trust, like that wasn't your only option.
Yes.
In fact, we are part of a river that never stops flowing. It's never going to dry up. Just like the money river is never going to dry up, the opportunity river is never going to dry up, the success river, the love river, all those things, they all come from source. They come from the one source who chooses different vehicles and avenues to come through. And this reminds me, there's actually a Tasha Silver quote that I looked up earlier that I was like, well, that's the one. Okay. I love the idea of divine source. It reminds us that everything, the fulfillment of every need, always emanates from the one. So if you learn how to keep your vibration high and attune to that, whatever is needed to sustain you can always occur, often in surprising and delightful ways. Your source is never a particular person, place, or thing, but God herself. You never have to beg. Furthermore, divine source says that whatever resonates with you will always find you. That which does not will fall away. It's that simple.
Well, and that's where the deep trust, and it's a complete and constant calling for non-attachment, that we have a joyful experience and we continue to want to recreate it, so we attach. But we don't realize that that joyful experience came out of us just being in the present moment, unattached. And so it's a constant calling to go back into this beautiful state of non-attachment. And for us to notice, there's certain areas of my life I get more attached. There's certain areas of my life where it's easier to have the open hand. Why? What is that? I'm curious. I want to know about that. Because part of bringing the open hand to even the attachment is saying, I'm curious about this. I have an open mind about this. I'm willing to learn about this. I'm willing to see this in a different way. You know, part of the gift of our friendship is we just really do get a chance to practice these tools together all the time, whether it's in big ways or small ways. And so we were just having lunch and it was the cutest example of this. So Kristen and I were having a beautiful lunch and I turned to her and I said, is dessert out of the question? And she said, of course it isn't. I love it when you follow your desires. So we asked for the dessert menu and we were torn between these two desserts. There was a tres leche cake that we were interested in. And there was also a Nutella cake that we were interested in. And so we asked our adorable waiter which one he thought would delight us. And he suggested the tres leche cake. And we were very excited about it. And we were like envisioning it. And it's like, oh, this is going to be so delightful. This is going to be the most delicious pre-podcast dessert of our lives. And then the waiter came over and said, oh, I'm so sorry, we sold out of it. And then we looked at each other and said, oh my gosh, well, we'll get the Nutella cake then.
Yeah.
With complete non-attachment to like, oh, now we're so sad because we had our hopes up. And it was just like, well, both of us had the instant moment of, well, the universe must really want us to try the Nutella cake. And it was so funny. And then when the cake came, it was beautiful.
Friends.
Beautiful. Kristen put her spoon in it. She put it in her mouth. And with her eyes closed, savoring every bite, she turned to me and said, I'm so grateful they were out of the tres leches cake. But it's the perfect example. If you get gripping and tight about the cake you wanted to have, you don't actually get to taste the cake that shows up.
Yes. And the cake that shows up may be delicious for us in ways we didn't even know was possible. Like earlier this year, I lost that job that really looked like the most exciting, shiny, very fun thing. But isn't it interesting? You know the movie that is up right now and the person that might actually, like, be in it. That's a bigger dream.
It's a bigger dream.
It's a more wild dream. Like, yes. If you had put
it's both, a dream that you would have even given yourself permission to ask for.
Exactly. And if you had put both in front of me and said, choose, I mean, no question.
Night and day.
But I didn't know
that was possible.
That it was possible.
Yeah.
So it's just this wonderful reminder of trust. And if something moves out of your hand, trust it's supposed to.
Yeah.
I'll never forget, and I'm sure I've told this story before, of when I was in my 20s and I was doing Bear off Broadway and was supposed to move to New World Stages. And the same weekend, the guy I was dating at the time came and like broke up with me. And I got a phone call that that show wasn't going to move in, be the first show in New World Stages. And there were like billboards all over town. And I remember people saying, well, you know, when God closes a door, he opens a window. And that same weekend, I got a call from Matt Weaver that said, hey, we think we can get the rights to some 80s music. So what looked like one dream not happening actually made room for a much bigger dream.
Right.
So it's so wild. We don't understand. Actually, this is very vulnerable, and I'm sure she wouldn't mind me talking about it. My mom in her life had 3 miscarriages, and she had each miscarriage right before she had my older brother, me, and Michael. And she always says, well, somehow, like, I wouldn't have been able to have your brothers or you had I had the other babies. So I just trust that, like, there was something divine that was occurring, right? That there was a reason. And perhaps that soul that was moving through me was preparing the place for my child.
So beautiful.
I know. Isn't that beautiful? And I think of my sweet mommy. Aww. Like, I think of her in her 20s. Because my mom had a child in every decade.
Wow.
In her 20s, in her 30s, and in her 40s. And I always think of my sweet mom, like, oh, I just want to hold her when she was in her 20s going through her first miscarriage. I can't even imagine.
Yeah.
And then her getting the gift of my older brother. And, like, there's no human on the planet that's as kind and sensitive and loving as him.
Hmm.
And so while it can be very challenging to trust the process of life as it is occurring, there's something that just happens if you say to yourself, I'm willing not to judge this at this moment.
Yes.
I'm willing to suspend my judgment. This doesn't mean I'm not going to be allow myself disappointment or the normal feels. I'm not going to, you know, suppress or repress anything. But I'm just going to suspend judgment and just get curious on, like, what might be going on.
Yeah. And sometimes I've had conversations with people who have said, well, I just don't know how to get to trust. Mm. I don't know how to believe that the universe is actually for me. I don't know if I actually believe there is a higher power. I don't know if I can get there. And then I always say, well, then don't trust. Choose. Just choose. Just say, I might get to the end of this life and go away and never know what all this was for. Or I may get to the end of it and somehow my spirit goes on and that energy doesn't die and it goes somewhere else and there's something bigger and my consciousness expands and I know things that I didn't know in human form. And whichever one is right doesn't really matter. What does matter is using this time for that which feels the best, most empowering, most joyful, and most loving to myself. And so if I choose to think all this is rigged in my favor, then it makes me feel better. And if I get to the end and I'm wrong, it won't matter because I would have felt better the whole time.
Yeah.
And if I choose, it's not rigged in my favor. It's actually really hard and it's an uphill battle. And I'm alone and I'm isolated. Then it's going to be really hard for me. And then I'm going to get to the end and either it's going to be the end and none of my suffering would have mattered. Or I'm going to get to the end and there's some higher consciousness going, you missed it. You could have been having fun. And I'm going to go, man, I missed it. So the best case scenario is not to believe if you can't get there, but to choose it because you're choosing that you feeling good while you're on this process, whatever it is the best case scenario for you and you get to decide.
Ooh, I love that.
And if you decide that it's rigged in my favor, then it's really easy from that moment on to have an open hand. It's really interesting. Just this week, or in the last few weeks, I got offered a really great role, a lead in a feature. And there were several reasons why my soul really said, nope, you got to say no. And my ego and my career and everything else was like, you can't say no. This is a lead in a movie and it's a 3-week shoot and you have to say yes. And my soul really knew it was a no. And it also knew who the right actress for the role was, who wasn't me. And so I was able to recommend this other actress who's a friend of mine and kind of give her advice on what the director was looking for. And long story short, the director fell absolutely in love with her, sent me an email saying, I don't know why you did this, but thank you so much because, like, no offense to you, but she's really the one for this role. I'm like, I know.
That's why I did it.
Because it's really important for me to not be an attachment.
Yeah.
And I knew it wasn't for me, even if I wanted it.
Yes.
And her and I had this beautiful connection over this moment. And she ended up getting the role. And I felt like I won an Oscar when she told me that she got this role. It was so much bigger than if I had gotten it. But the next day, my manager calls me with the most rad audition for something that really could be right for me, right? And so it was, and whether I get this one or not, it was really just this kind of communication from the universe saying, there's so much more. You say no to this tulip, there's a rose over here. There's a daffodil over there.
Endless.
Endless. And so please don't attach and try to grasp or hold on to one thing. Because the minute you're holding on to that thing, the other thing can't get to you.
Man, it's the truest. I remember when I was in my very early 20s and I had developed Bear in Los Angeles. We had done the production out there and all this hoopla happened about it. And because it did, the Public Theater in New York picked it up. And this is back when George C. Wolfe was the artistic director. So we had this huge successful production in LA, won all the awards. And then they picked it up and they were like, well, George C. Wolfe is now going to direct it in New York. And so I had a year in my life where my collaborators who I developed it with were now going to do it with George C. Wolfe. And I remember feeling this divine sense of peace, and it was divine. I'm so grateful. I just could feel the divine on my heart saying, don't get into grasping. Mm-hmm. Just keep your heart open. Keep being kind. If it's meant for you, it'll be yours. Mm-hmm. And at the time, like, my relationship with the divine is nowhere near the way it is now. Like, I wasn't tuning in to listen all the time, but I felt that. And I'm so glad I never got angry at them, sent them an angry email.
Made a story, bitched.
I just stayed in, like, deep, I'm so excited for the show. And then after a year, they realized it wasn't a match. And then after a year of, like, working, my collaborators came back and were like, oh, you're our girl. And ever since then, it's really been this thing for me of trusting that if a show has to say, hey, you're not our girl, you're not our director, going, okay, trust that. Like, either it will come back to me in another form in the right time, or it was never mine. I was meant to offer what I did, and that was my participation in the whole. Because there is no separation. It is the all. It's like we are just an energy raising this planet. So it doesn't matter if the energy does it in a different body, right. Still the same energy.
And what, you know, this list that we've read from is the closed fist is, it's about me.
Yeah.
The open hand is, it is about all.
That's right.
If you're living from a place of all, whether George directs the show or you do, the important thing is the show is in the world.
That's right.
If I'm living from a place of all, it doesn't matter if I get this role or another actress does. It's important that this movie get made and hopefully do some healing on the planet.
That's right.
If I'm living from the place of me, then it has to be my role.
That's right.
If you're living from the place of you, you have to be the director. And there's such a freedom of knowing I don't have to write the story. I just get to play it out.
Yeah.
There's someone else writing the most beautiful story for me, and I just get to be surprised and delighted at every turn. And always my entire life, the experience has been everything I try to plan and control and make happen fails.
Mm-hmm.
And usually I'm grateful that it did. And everything that is a surprise, that comes out of nowhere, that I didn't see coming, moves me in ways I could have never planned for, predicted, or even dreamed about.
The universe loves to surprise and delight us, which is why we love traveling. And immediately I'm hit with when we were in Greece and we didn't know about the sunset. We didn't know everyone stopped at the sunset and stopped and watched it and then broke out into applause. And I remember you and I being in like shock and awe.
And crying that everyone left their seat at the restaurant to go stand and watch the sunset and cry and clap. And then you think, well, tonight must have been a great sunset. And then the waitress says, oh, we do this every day. This is our tradition. We honor what is and we celebrate it. And I mean, I could still cry thinking about it.
Yeah.
It just was the most moving thing to think, oh my gosh, this unexpected joy fires my brain in a different way.
Yes. It reminds me of another day in Santorini when you and I went hiking and I was meditating on that mountain.
Oh.
And I said, in my next life, I might want to be a bird flying over Santorini.
Oh.
And then later that day, I'd totally forgotten that that had happened. And later that day, we were on a black sand beach and you said, Kristen, let's go parasailing. And then all of a sudden, we were up, flying over the water, and you turned to me and you said, Kristen,
you're a bird flying over Santorini.
I had forgotten I'd had the desire. I had let it go.
And I didn't even know you had the desire because I wasn't with you when you said it.
And the universe was like, I can't wait to surprise and delight you.
And then the deep surprise of the guys operating the boat loved Kristen and I and wanted to play with us. So we would be high in the sky and then they would dip us down so our feet would splash in the water and then they would lift us back up. And like 2 4-year-old girls on Christmas morning squealing with delight that our little feet were like in the water and then we were high up and down low. And that's something that you can't plan.
You can't plan.
And thank goodness, because that's how it's easy to choose, or it's easy to believe, or it's easy to trust, because it's always there if you let it.
Yes. And so what happens if we move through our life today, this week, this month, and say, I don't know what you got for me, but I know that it's great. I know you can't wait to surprise and delight me and make me squeal like a 4-year-old on Christmas morning with how perfect your choice is for my heart. And I know I have so many things I think I want. And let me love those desires and be excited about them, but realize I don't need to try to grasp or control or squeeze the life out of any of them. You got this.
So beautiful. Life with an open hand is the life where you get to allow instead of do, where you get to be instead of execute, where you get to watch with absolute wonder and awe and be delighted by a life that created you so it could love you. And that's a life that's worth living, no matter what comes after.
Oh, we're so loved. We can just start right there. We're so loved. We were created. And now what?
Now
what? I have one more quote from our friend.
I was hoping you would.
You did? Were?
I wasn't attached, but I was excited that maybe you would.
Well, actually, choose from deciding which one. Okay, here we go. Allow me, divine, to relax and let go into the unknown. Open and unclench my grasping hands. Wrap me in your arms. May I treat myself with true kindness, love, and compassion. Fill me with trust that all true needs will always be met. I am yours.
Listeners, friends, may this week you settle in the truth and awareness that all of your needs are always met long before you even have to ask. And may your intention, your mantra, your prayer this week be simply, show me, delight me, allow me the openness to receive everything that I am here to experience.
This is reminding me, I wrote a prayer this morning.
Of course you did.
You know, like you do.
Of course
you
did.
Can I read it to you? I put it in my wallet.
Please.
But I also have it on my desktop here.
Will you print one for me so I can have one too?
Yes. It says, love, may I be conscious to the great joy and pleasure of being alive. May I be awake to the miracle that is happening all around. May I live in trust that you are love in action. Help me to listen to and follow my precious heart as I treasure myself.
Beautiful.
Just so I don't forget. Sometimes we forget.
We forget all the time.
And then we remind ourselves again.
And then we remember.
Yeah. I feel like part of us getting to be angels for each other is just we help each other remember who we are.
Yeah.
Over and over and over again.
We're all just walking each other home.
That's right, Ramdas.
Thank you, friends, for listening. I don't know if you know this, but we have a special gift for you.
We do!
Because we love you so much. Some of you may know about this already, but for the entire month of June, in honor of Kristen's birthday, we are having a summer sale. So everything on our website is half price. Our book, $10. Our happy hour special create live class, $10. Kristen's writing class, half price. Our 7-hour video online course, half price. There's no better deal in town.
There's no better deal.
It's like the universe is giving you a present.
And then also, if you happen to live in New York, we are teaching live June 29th.
I hope we get our makeup done and have cute dresses.
Oh, we're going to look adorable, I promise you.
So yes, that is on Saturday, June 29th at the Actors Green Room, which is on 28th and Broadway. All of that information you will be able to find via our website, via the Actors Green Room website, if you're interested in checking us out live. And we love you so much, and may you walk through this week with a blissful open hand and heart and know how profoundly loved you are by us and the universe.
Thank you so much for listening. We love to feel like we have friends all over the world in you who are committed to doing their dream on the planet.
And if you like this podcast and you want to find out more about what we're doing or who we are, our pop-up classes, our online classes, you can check all of that out at thecreateseries.com.
And if you want to be part of our Facebook community, you can go to the Create Community page. That's C.R.E.A.T.E. Community.
And if you loved this podcast, why not share it with a friend?